Classic Hits, 98.9 WJEZ. Good morning. I'm Todd Weinberger. This is the Community Forum, and as I mentioned, joining us in the studio is the Regional Superintendent of Schools for Livingston, McLean, DeWitt, and Logan Counties, Mr. Mark Jontree. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing fine. It's good to have you here on a Monday morning, and let's talk a little bit about something that has been the big headline in education for the last several months. There is a new school funding formula that's been in place. How's it working out?
Well, we're going to start actually seeing its full implementation here starting in April. And what I mean by that is, as our listeners are probably aware, the new model is in part designed to make sure that those districts that have the greatest need in terms of not having the most local resources are supported. And so the additional dollars that were poured into the formula are going to start to being directed to our school districts that are entitled to those here in starting with the April payments. And so for Livingston County, that's a mix in terms of districts that are going to be seeing additional dollars as opposed to those that are that aren't probably going to see a whole lot of new money just because where they fall in the formula, they were perceived to have, you know, quite a bit of local resources and therefore not going to probably expect a whole lot in terms of new dollars. But, you know, $300 million additional dollars were put into the formula. And so the state board has taken the last 7-8 months to run all the calculations and make sure that their numbers were correct and revolving around enrollment, because enrollment does drive the indicators now as opposed to what your daily attendance was in the past. So it's taken them a few months to do that, but they've indicated that they will be vouchering those additional payments for those districts that are eligible starting in April. And so over the last 6 payments that our districts will get, twice in April, May, and June, the rest of this year, they will, those that are eligible for those additional dollars are going to see them. And so, you know, it's good that we're following through on that commitment that we were going to change the formula and invest in it. And that process has started, and we'll see how it works out.
Let me ask you to look into your crystal ball for just a minute, because you are a person who looks at things from a broader perspective than a lot of other education professionals. What part of what prompted this change was the fact that in many rural districts, you have a shrinking tax base. You have many people moving to more urban areas, more developed areas around larger cities. Do you think that that trend is going to continue and affect this formula in the next few years?
I think there's a pretty good possibility that that trend is going to continue. I think it'll be interesting to see. Certainly, our enrollments in Livingston County schools, for example, are stagnant at best in terms of being level, and there are some that are seeing slowly declining enrollment. So I think you're going to continue to probably see that trend. It'll be interesting also, I think, to see what the 2020 census reveals around just population in general. But I think as you look across certainly the state, if not the country, you're seeing more and more migration, if you will, away from the rural area and then towards the larger urban areas, you know, relative to proximity, of course. But you're going to, I think, continue to see that. So it'll be interesting to see at what point there becomes that balance of do they continue to do that. But in the short term, I think you're going to see our districts continue to receive that support from the state, and that support is contingent upon the General Assembly and the Governor's Office continuing to increase the dollars that are going to go into K-12 education. So, as I said earlier, they invested $300 million. This last year, I think the thought is they're going to look to invest probably somewhere around that same number, give or take, in FY19 to continue to invest in that model. And but with that, you're going to have the expectation is you're going to have to demonstrate, you know, some accountability for those dollars. And if you're not going to demonstrate outcomes in terms of student success, measured in any number of ways, not just testing-based, but measured in any number of ways, then, you know, there comes a point where you have to ask those questions about is this the best arrangement for serving our kids in particular communities.
And, of course, so many of the things that are being talked about as reforms in Illinois just sound like common sense. I mean, I know in the minds of many they're asking, why didn't we always do it this way?
And that's it is. You know, many have asked that. And the original school funding formula actually wasn't a bad model. The problem became that additional pieces of legislation were introduced to modify that formula, and then eventually, you know, we had what we had. But having said that, the evidence-based model is research-based. It's been studied. It's been demonstrated that if you invest in it, you should be able to see significant student outcomes going forward. So, yeah, like many other things, I think it just takes time and study and reflection before you realize we could be doing this better.
And, of course, once you implement something, it takes time to see if it's worked.
It does. And that will take some time. You know, everybody needs to understand that it will take a few years for the investment side to then hopefully translate into some student outcomes in that regard. But the best thing is that nobody is going to see any fewer dollars that they had last year. So the districts that are considered locally resource rich under the model do not see any less dollars from the state in this year or going forward.
Mark Gentry is our guest this morning. He is the regional superintendent of schools for Livingston, McLean, DeWitt, and Logan counties in central Illinois. We talk about once a month about issues in education, and one of the issues that's been on the front burner. I can't think of the right metaphor, but what I want to point out is we've been talking about school security now for the last several weeks since the tragedy in Florida. Yeah. So what's the latest?
So this is certainly, as everybody would probably expect, elicited a lot of conversation among school administrators, law enforcement, and that. And so everybody is really going back and looking at their crisis response plans, reviewing them, talking with law enforcement, because as these events unfortunately happen from every so often, law enforcement learns new things each time. And and what that has caused here in the state of Illinois is the statewide terrorism task force to convene a group around school security. And they have been meeting here for the last couple of weeks on a pretty regular basis and continue. And they are looking at every angle as to what potential new recommendations or revisions to existing recommendations they might make around school security. So they're looking at everything around, you know, hardening buildings, for example, in terms of how do you make the buildings more secure. You know, any number of ideas are thrown around about that. And so at the end of the day, a lot of this, honestly, is going to take additional investment, I think, in order to unfortunately have to mitigate and respond to what we are dealing with in today's society. And so whether that's additional armed personnel, I'm not necessarily referring to arming teachers, but is it, you know, additional police presence or security presence in a building? Are there building enhancements that you can make? You know, everybody is probably, those that at least attend a school anymore during a school day are probably attending a school where you have to be buzzed in to get into the building. So are there additional security steps? And then I think one of the other things that we're going to be looking at, this most recent incident in Florida, you know, the fire alarm was pulled. And so as we look at how our buildings are set up in terms of their fire alarm systems, which in larger buildings are often zoned, well, I think you'll be looking at the thoughts around, instead of everybody exiting the building, do we maybe just evacuate that zone that it seems to be identified where the alarm was set off? Mm-hmm. And first investigate, do we actually have a fire, or did somebody pull a prank, or, you know, actually not just doing that mass evacuation and potentially doing something that a perpetrator is wanting the opportunity to otherwise, you know, engage defenseless people in.
Mm-hmm. A couple of weeks ago, I saw a security professional on one of the talk shows, and of course, I can't remember who it was now, but the point they made was, traditionally, in school design, you wanted long, uninterrupted lines of sight. so that school administrators, teachers could keep an eye on what was going on on the campus. And he said you wanted easy access. So when students were being dropped off or picked up, it was easy for people to get in. And he said now, of course, we have to rethink all of that
because
he said people of bad intent are taking advantage of those design factors. And he said it all has to be changed around.
It does. It does. And also part parcel of all this is just we continue to look at, you know, the mental health question around, especially if it's, you know, we certainly have to look at it on the adult side, but we also have to look at, you know, what we're doing with serving students who may be at risk, you know, on the mental health side, not just because of school shootings, but just the broader challenges that mental health brings. And we're seeing more and more of those issues at all ages. But certainly those individuals that are relatively recent students are the ones that probably have had those challenges. And we're just continue to look to make sure that we can provide those services if we need to in the school setting, if they're not otherwise available, you know, in the public or social service setting.
Well, one of the people keeping track of the policies in place here in Central Illinois is Mark Gentry. He's been our guest this morning. He's the Regional Superintendent of Schools for Livingston, McLean, DeWitt, and Logan Counties. Mark, thanks so much for joining us.
Good to visit with you, Todd.
I'm Todd Weinbrenner. That's the Community Forum on Classic Hits, 98.9 WJEZ.